Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having on a wedding garment? But he was silent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Have you ever, while reading this particular gospel, wondered about the apparently harsh treatment of this man by the king? I mean, those who had been invited originally to the marriage, they didn't want to come. And the king was angry at this. But because the banquet was already prepared, the marriage feast already, the king commanded all of his servants to go out in the highways and the byways and call to the marriage as many people as they could find. The servants fulfilled the command to a T. Thus, both good and bad, as the gospel tells us, came to the marriage. Rich and poor, it made no difference. Whoever they found came to the marriage. And the marriage was filled with guests, just as the king had wanted it to be. Now, the king then goes in to see all of his guests, and he saw one single man in the whole bunch who was not wearing a wedding garment. What had the king to be surprised about on this occasion? After all, this poor man with no wedding garment had been met on the road by a servant, compelled to come to the marriage, and then because he did not have a wedding garment, he was to be punished. Apparently, it seems that the king is quite unjust. That is, until you know and understand a few things about the customs of the Jews. First, those Jews to whom our Lord was speaking this parable on that day knew full well all the customs of marriage in that country at that time. They knew it perfectly well. So they understood the parable. Secondly, the Jews were big on ceremony and custom. At the marriage feast of Cana, for example, we are told of the 6 water pots of stone that were set out according to the manner of the purifying of the Jews. That's what the scripture says. And then they were filled with water, and it was customary for all of the guests to come in and purify their hands in a very ritualistic and ceremonious way. There was a certain way of doing it. They were big on ceremonies. Now, besides these water pots that were put out for the guests, garments, cloaks, or mantles were also always provided for the guests to throw over their street clothes as they entered the marriage. So the garments were provided. But this man, in today's gospel, through bad manners, be it, or maybe neglect, had outright ignored the festive garment which was offered to him. And this action insulted the king very much. It would be something like this. Imagine we were all here in Mass, dressed in your Sunday best, as you all are, and then some man comes in with shorts and a tank top, and he sits down in front, or he comes in with a hat and doesn't bother to uncover out of reverence to our Lord. It would be a similar situation to that. That is what the man in today's gospel did by not taking that wedding garment. Now, that wedding garment signifies the state of sanctifying grace. And by the state of grace is meant, let's go back to catechism, first, freedom from mortal sin. It means that we are in a state of friendship with Almighty God, and that a soul in this state is one of the most beautiful sights, so that if any one of us had the chance to see, the privilege to see a soul in the state of sanctifying grace, we would die of joy at seeing something so beautiful as a soul in grace. It is one of the many things that will fill us with immense happiness in heaven, to see the state of grace in souls. The state of grace is given us in baptism, and if by mortal sin we should ever lose it, then we may regain it through the sacrament of penance. We can lose it, in other words, but through the mercy of God, gain it back. And so it is our fault and a terrible insult to God to remain in the state of sin for any period of time. For we have chosen it. We have chosen to remain in a state where we are an enemy of God. And there are numbers of men and women who understand precisely what the state of sanctifying grace is, and yet choose in their own free will to be out of it and to remain out of it. They know they should put themselves right with God, but someday. May we all ask for a holy fear of God in this regard, for our souls, because He cares for our souls with such love, and let us take care of our souls with great diligence. But should we neglect to put our souls back into the state of grace and then die, we, like the man with no wedding garment, will only be able to remain silent when the King approaches us on that judgment day. All those excuses we had for putting off confession and confessing our mortal sins in life that seemed so real and justified to us, on judgment day will vanish. We'll have no excuse, nothing but to stand in the sight of the judge silently. It is our duty always to preserve our soul in the state of grace. This is difficult, very difficult to fallen human nature, especially when we see ourselves surrounded by such a society as ours, where sins against nature are considered to be normal, where lust reigns supreme, where pride is the only way to go, and to gain material possessions and all of the rest of it. Society is against us, and yet we are to remain in the state of grace. It is a difficult thing, but remember what sacred scripture tells us elsewhere. Remember thy last end, and you shall not sin. All of us here are going want to be one day in heaven or in hell. And it is in our power today to choose which one it will be. Now, we often, it is true, we get caught up in material things, success. Everyone does it. There's not a single one of us in here who does not do that, at least from time to time. Getting caught up in material success, seeking it out. Our family, our children, they have to be more perfect than our neighbors. Admit it, you've thought it from time to time. We forget that, well, as Cardinal Mary Delval said in his prayer for humility, his litany of humility, Lord, that others may become holier than I, provided I become as holy as I ought. That is how we should think. But we always go the opposite way, and we want to be better than everyone else. We then begin to compare ourselves to others who are in the same line of work as us, just to make sure that we're one step ahead of them at all times, one notch better. Then we are disappointed by adversity and overcome by temptation. But it's all because we so often get caught up in the things of this world that we take our minds off of our last end and we fall into sin. That is what it's about. But truthfully, nothing matters but that we are presently, at this moment, in the state of grace, and that we die in that same state of grace. This is what life is all about. Not success, not money, not relationships, not sterling reputations among your peers, not how hard you work, not about the clothes you wear on your back. It's all about grace, being living and dying in the state of sanctifying grace, being pleasing to God and gaining heaven. Nothing else matters. Everything else will either help you to heaven or pull you away from heaven. All material things will do one of those two things. There is nothing that is neutral. It will lead you to heaven or it will lead you to hell. St. Francis de Sales said in his introduction to the devout life, and we should contemplate this often, he says, "It is strictly true that you stand between heaven and hell, and that each of them lies open to receive you according to the choice you make." He continues, "The choice you make in this world will last eternally in the world to come." But he reminds us that God eagerly wants us to choose heaven, for God himself invites us, and Mary prays for us, and the saints, who all of them went through the same trials as us, they look at us with compassion and once again offer their prayers on our behalf. And the angels, too, inspire us to go to heaven. All of heaven, right now at this moment, looks down into this church and desires to see every one of us there in heaven. And we should say with St. Francis de Sales, "Hell, I detest you now and forever, your torments, the blasphemies that you utter against the God who loves souls so much, and I turn my heart to you, heaven, everlasting glory and endless happiness, and choose you for my eternal abode." But to conclude, all of us are on our way to eternity, and either heaven or hell awaits each one of us. There is no escape. We must, therefore, always have on that wedding garment of grace that is spoken of in today's Holy Gospel, and never choose to be without it. It will always be difficult because there will be temptations and there is fallen human nature, but we must depend on those helps that God has given us. Particularly, do I recommend to you this month, your guardian angel. God has given you such a wonderful creature who is always at your side, always praying for you, always helping you to avoid sin and temptation. Invoke him, call upon him, pray to him every day. And then secondly, the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the mother of God, and God will refuse her nothing. It is a sign of predestination to be devoted to her. And if you want to stay strong in this society of ours, which is the society, really, of the Antichrist, which wants to drag souls to hell, if you want to remain pure and inviolate, then you must stay close to Our Lady and hold tight to her rosary. And in this way, you'll always preserve your wedding garment and will one day see God face to face in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.